This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06. You're with Kelvin and Hezriel on the evening edition. First up this hour, we're looking at government plans to lower our daily water consumption. This comes as Environment and Water Minister Dr. Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man announced that it wants to cut the amount from 219 to 180 litres per person per day by 2025. And he says it's because our current usage is too high. The recommended daily rate is actually 160 litres per person per day.
Right. So the minister says that education plays an important role in achieving this, and Malaysians shouldn't feel complacent even though we have abundant water supplies. Nonetheless, the minister is asking the government and the public to take additional steps to tackle the issue. This includes installing water-saving gadgets in water pipes and using rainwater to water plants. This comes at an interesting time, doesn't it? Our water usage at a time when we're being asked to frequently wash our hands with soap and water. Even in the beginning of the MCO, I remember the Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin saying that we should shower frequently right after we go out and go to the grocery or go to the restaurant. So I think it comes at an interesting time, and I just wonder how sanitation and water conservation can be balanced.
Yeah, there are a few things here, right? It does sound like overall in the country, what we do need is a renewal of so many of our water-based equipments. That can happen within the home, which means that our own piping, the toilets and the kind of flush toilets we use, those need changing because the ones that you've had maybe for the past 5 to 10 years are not as water efficient as they are in this as the latest brands, for example. Same goes for a kitchen tap. If you are wealthy enough to have a dishwasher, that also applies there. But that's the household, right? On a larger scale, we need to relook at our sanitation systems. We need to reinvest and redevelop so many of our water pipelines, water usage and water systems. That it will take time, it will take money, but so long as you don't do it, we'll always have this perennial problem of despite having so much water resources, but still having water shortages and facing water crises from time to time again.
Yeah, it's an ironic situation, isn't it? The water shortages and the inconsistency across, depending on where you live and which state you live in, because let's not forget other states like Kelantan and Terengganu sometimes have water issues and droughts occasionally throughout the year. But on the note of consistency, I'd have to agree with you, and it's also about water pressure, right? How you open a tap in one house and it might just be so strong, and then in another house it might just the water pressure is like too little. So there's a lot of mechanisms, and I think a lot of streamlining amongst, I think, developers as well, right? The private sector and the government, and a lot of moving pieces that it's not just going to come down simply to our daily consumption, although that's definitely a good start.
Yeah, and at the end also about protecting our water sources, right? Making sure that river pollution is reduced to the maximum minimum possible. So you, in the meantime, however, can let us know your thoughts. How are you planning on saving water? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Charles Santiago, Klang MP and former chairman of SPAN. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:13 on Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezriel, and this hour we're talking about water. In what ways can we save them? Because the government is looking at cutting our daily usage rate from currently 219 litres per person per day to 180 litres per person per day by 2025. We're now going to head over to Charles Santiago Klang, MP and former chairman of SPAN, who we have on the line. Charles, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for the invite.
How has our daily water consumption evolved over the years?
I think the last so many years, we have kept to the 219-220 mark for the last 2-3 years. We haven't dropped our consumption in any significant fashion. Although the government has periodically have undertaken education programs, including recycling and so on and so forth, but it has not really yielded or has brought about changes to our consumption patterns. We are very high water consuming country, whereas if you look at Singapore, it's only 141 liters per day, and therefore they are far ahead of us. I think the problem that we have is that we have lots of rain in the country, and therefore people think that since there's so much of rain, you know, water should be available at all times, and water should be cheap as well. And I think that is one of the motivating forces behind the thinking around people not wanting to conserve water or use water in a conservative fashion.
Right, and on that note of messaging, right, the campaigns that you brought up by the government, why do you think perhaps the messaging? Do you think that the messaging has been able to has been conveyed clearly to Malaysians, or is there like a gap in terms of sending the message across to Malaysians to conserve water?
I think Malaysians are willing to pay more for water, but I think they also demand efficiency. And I think this is where the problem lies. If you do not provide water in an efficient fashion, you're unable to manage your water distribution and management in an efficient fashion, then it's difficult to convince people to ask for more for tariffs. Although our tariffs are far lower, our tariffs do not reflect the actual cost of production. But I think basically we need to be more efficient. This actually goes back to the way we manage water operators. We manage non-revenue water, and we manage distribution in the country. I think it's both sides. One, you need to improve efficiency. You need to show the consumer that the government and the operators are doing everything possible in order to cut down the cost of production. And then you go to people and say, hey, look, we have done all this. Now you have to pay for this, pay more. I think this is the bargain that has to be reached with the consumer.
Right, and just I guess looking at a national level, are there states with lower water consumption rates than others, and why is that the case?
Well, I think basically the centers, urban states like Selangor, Johor, Penang, there's lots of water consumption as opposed to the rural area, I mean, the rural parts of Malaysia, Terengganu, Kelantan, and so on and so forth. Because more population is located in the urban areas, as well as industries. And the urban cities are water guzzlers in general. So therefore, it only makes sense that urban consumers consume more. But also the urban consumer has the responsibility to use water efficiently, to recycle water, and also to ensure that we do rainwater harvesting and so on and so forth, which we don't. For example, in the urban areas, we have every home, we have 2-3 cars, and people wash their cars every other day with processed water. Now, this is really wrong. You should only wash your water. I mean, sorry, wash your car. In rainwater, for example, we should really use rainwater harvesting as a way which should be used for non-essential activities at home. So you can mop your house with rainwater. With rainwater, you can clean your drains with rainwater. You can use it for your garden as well as to wash the car. But most of us have maids, and the first thing the maid does is, you know, he or she will be washing the car, three of the cars, with processed water. Now, this is really a waste. This is absolutely a waste. That's something that we should really change, the way we manage, the way we use water.
So you touched earlier on education initiatives. What other efforts has the government taken in the past to lower daily water consumption, and how have they turned out?
Well, I think the government has been talking and, you know, in a very trying to implement a variety of conservation policies, introducing gadgets and equipment and so on and so forth. At least in Spain, when I was there, and this is part of Spain's work itself, it introduced a variety of gadgets that you use in your tap so as to reduce the water usage. So typically, you know, assuming that you could provide water for, you know, 100 guys when before they go into their prayers in the mosque. Now with the same gadget, you can use water for 150 or 200 people. So this experiment has been done in a number of mosques in Malaysia, and it has shown that actually you need less water, and you can do more. More people can take advantage of it.
The conversation right now focuses quite heavily on the role of consumers at this point in time. We do have this message on WhatsApp from Megat Nabil that says, solve high non-revenue water rate first before asking consumers to take action on reducing water consumption. Where would we find that balance, I guess? Would the responsibility first be more on the consumer's end first, or would it be to immediately fix up some of the infrastructure, water infrastructure that we have that may have been around pre-independence days that are constituting to a lot of these problems that we're facing with water shortages and so on?
Well, I think non-revenue water is a major problem. In some states, it's 20%, some states, it's 27%. Some states is 32%, but in general it is quite high. But I think in Johor they were able to bring down Johor, Penang, and even Selangor as well. They have been successful in bringing down the number, the percentage, but still it's quite high. It's, I mean, you know, 17%, 21%, and so on and so forth. But in the other states, like for example Kedah, Perlis, I think Pahang, and so on and so forth, non-revenue water was very high. Non-revenue water is essentially water that's already been processed, but which actually goes to waste because there's lots of leakages, lots of broken pipes, and as well as water theft. So you have all of this. So I think the various operators are trying to go after, trying to minimize water theft. I think that's what's happening. And also I think they are now also looking at changing the older pipes. These are pipes that have been laid in 1950s, 1960s, and 70s, which today has become a major problem for us because it's very, very expensive, highly expensive to change these pipes. And therefore, it's lots of money. So I think this is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. And I think one cannot say, let's solve the NRW water problem first, and then we'll worry about everything else. I don't think it works like that, though. I think we should move at all fronts, in order to ensure that there is enough water for the next generation. So I think it's also important to note that Malaysia is a water-scarce country, and this is a phenomenon that has been made worse by the notion of climate change. Malaysia is not the only one. You also have other countries in the region also have similar problems as well. And here, the weather patterns are erratic. 15 or 20 years ago, you have rain just for, 5 hours and 1 hour, and, you know, it's not so much of a rain. But today, in half an hour, the rain is so heavy that, you know, you have lots of floods and so on and so forth. So the rain patterns have changed, and that has impact on the way we consume water, especially our rivers. And talking about rivers, we have also a major problem in relation with pollution. We have plastic pollution, we have chemical pollution, and now we have e-waste pollution as well, all of which is now impacting on the quality of water. And if that happens, the cost of treatment of water is going to be very expensive. And that is why the government has to look at innovative ways, like, for example, setting up national national river protection authorities, where rivers are considered national security. And therefore, you cannot have people pumping chemicals into the river and people throwing e-waste into rivers or plastic into rivers. And this is really a mess. For example, in Ulu Muda, for example, when I was the chairman of SPAN, I led a delegation to look at the Ulu Muda River. And it was shocking to see so much of plastic just next to the river, the Ulu Muda River. And this is all, and I'm sure it's all seeping into the river. And not only is it expensive, but also lots of this water will be used by the farmers in Ulu Muda, which is about about 70,000 farmers, and all of them will be using polluted water for food for rice production. So it's just not just about conservation of water, but how water is also used for production of agriculture. And you also pollute agriculture in the process. So therefore, there must be this rethinking about the way we manage water. Besides trying to cut down on the individual consumption of water, we also have to look at the way we manage the river. And more if our rivers are polluted, not only by chemicals, but by e-waste as well as plastics, then the cost is going to go up and it also is going to pollute the production, the water that is used for agriculture. Mm. So agriculture produced too would also be a problem in the future.
Right. And speaking of ways to tackle the issue, Kuala Lumpur MP Dr. Xavier Jayakumar suggested that to tackle this, the government should consider increasing the water tariff. Do you think this would be an effective approach, I guess, combined with the other ways to conserve water?
I think the tariff increase is one option that people have looked at as a way of trying to conserve water. But, people say, if you smoke cigarettes, you'll have cancer. Has it stopped people from smoking? In Malaysia, if you are a drug pusher, your sentence is a death sentence. Has that stopped people from becoming drug pushers? No. So I'm not so sure that the increase in the price of water or tariff actually will lead to a less consumption. Mm-hmm. I think people have to recognize that water is limited. It's not going to be flowing. We are lulled to think that every time it rains, there's so much of water. But people, I think, are now slowly beginning to get the idea that this resource of ours, which is depleting, and therefore we really have to use it in the most efficient way possible. I think this is the message that we have to send to people, which requires education among school children, for example, university students, younger generation who respond more towards the green economy or wanting a more friendly environment, more environmentally friendly and so on and so forth. They seem to be more amenable to the idea that we need to be respectful of the way we use water. I think this is the problem. First, we have to recognize that shortage, and the only way to overcome the shortage is we have to consume or waste less. We have to waste less. I think this is the point. And if this point goes to every citizen and every consumer, then we will be able to solve the problem of overconsumption.
Charles, we have about a minute left on the clock. What is one water-saving tip you'd like to leave with us? What do you practice personally?
Oh, okay. I think basically, you caught me here. I think we need to educate our family members. We must start with the family. We need to start with the family and encourage the family at every moment in time not to waste water. So, for example, some of the tips that we can do is one of your colleagues mentioned, I think, earlier, where we keep the water running when we are brushing the teeth, for example. For example, that's something we need to be conscious of. We need to change our toilet systems, for example. But I think one of the things that we have to do is to really promote rainwater harvesting. Mm. And it is not difficult. It is something that we can do. It is very affordable. And the government has to provide some kind of tax incentive so that non-essential activity in the home and also in the factory can be done through rainwater harvesting. So you save the rainwater and use the water when for non-essential activity. So I have lots of friends who are now increasingly using rainwater harvesting. And use it to mop their house, to for their trees, for their plants, wash their cars, and so on and so forth. And the water that comes through the pipe, the processed water, is only used for cooking and bathing, and cleaning and washing clothes and so on and so forth. So I think we need to really do that, and I think the government has to motivate this approach. And I think in the coming budget, the government could provide incentives, tax incentives to get developers to have it in their plan, and also local councils to push for rainwater harvesting at the local council level. I think this is really workable. For example, we have. We use processed water in our garden. We don't have to do that. We can use rainwater harvesting for that. I think if we can just do that, I think we'll be quite safe.
Charles, thank you so much for weighing in today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That was Charles Santiago, Klang MP and former chairman of SPAN. We're headed to the 6:30 news. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.